You're listening to the Comic Crusaders Podcast. I am your host, Al Mega, CEO of Comic Crusaders and Undercover Capes. In this show, I'm sitting down with creators from all walks of life to talk about inspiration, process, the lessons they've learned, and a whole lot more.
It's your boy, Al Mega. Welcome to a brand new Comic Crusaders Podcast. Today, folks, we're talking some awesome indie goodness. I mean, it is a beautiful book. I can't wait you guys see this. This man we're about to talk to is smashing it. It's an already funded Kickstarter, but guess what? It is Christmas time, and homie was smart. He got an Etsy out there where you could pre-order this for your favorite, you know, comic book fan in your life and put him onto something that I know for a fact they're going to love. Let me introduce this wonderful designer, illustrator, comic book creator extraordinaire, Mr. Chris Baldy. Lepa, how you doing, homie?
Good, thanks. Yeah, I need to use my hype man on any interview, really.
Are you ready? I'm ready to start. Right, hold on. You're waking me up, kiddo. Sorry, thank you for coming out to the show and talk about your book over here, Jacques and the Great Art Theft. I mean, I loved it not because, you know, I'm not being biased because I know that cover looked great, you know, matches these colors. For real, I mean, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to check out the book in advance of the interview. I'm like, wow, bro. Wow. Visually stunning book you've created here.
Thank you. I tried. Yeah.
And the story, everything is just, you get it. You get it. Whoa. All right. So, folks, before we get into all of that, I'm going to show off the Kickstarter, the Etsy, and all that good stuff. That way, you know where to get this. I'm telling you, this is a gorgeous book. So, Chris, let's reel it back a bit. Need to know where you are originally from and what was the first thing in fandom that you ever fell in love with.
So from Scotland, from a really, really small town called Stranraer, which is middle of nowhere, but moved to Glasgow about 15 or 20 years ago. And so I've been in Glasgow ever since then. And the first thing I ever had a big fandom for was probably Hellboy.
How did you
Weirdly, because it's a small town, we don't have comic book shops. So a friend lent me Volume 3, which I think is the Right Hand of Doom. Yeah, Right Hand of Doom. And it just blew my mind. Like, it was unlike anything I'd seen before. Like, I'd tried to read Superman and Spider-Man and stuff, and they were fine, but they weren't really for me. And then he handed me Hellboy, and it's this gothic, dark, super graphic design style that has Nazis in it and a demon punching Nazis. I mean, what more do you want, really?
What else do you want, right? You know?
It's a perfect blend of everything that I love. So yeah, that was the first big fandom. Other than that, it was mostly web comics that I fell in love with, really.
All right, bet. So, what was your homie the only one? Did you guys have a tribe, or were you mostly alone in your geekdom out there?
There was probably more of us, but we just didn't know about it. I think it was kind of a keep quiet about it sort of thing.
A fight club. We don't talk about.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, yeah. As I say, my town had about 10,000 people in it, so it's a really small town. So the people that like your stuff are very few and far between. So it really kind of was just us, and he kind of introduced me to the mainstream stuff. So yeah, we clung around that. But there was I had other groups. Like, I've always been into nerd stuff like Dungeons and Dragons. I went to the after school club for that and stuff. So there was always
school club for Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, it was run by our teacher, our computing teacher.
Oh shit!
Yeah. Yeah, he was a big old nerd as well. So, yeah, he introduced us all to it. It was great. It was a kind of perfect time in life of very few responsibilities and a bunch of nerds hanging out with each other. So,
oh, that must have been so cool. I mean, I had a great mythology teacher and a great creative writing teacher, but I never had that teacher that. Oh wait. I did have a social studies teacher. I won't blast him, of course, in case he's still working. Yo, one day it was, you know, we're about to finish school. You know that he was like, all right, guys, who wants to learn how to play poker? Well, straight up, he told us how to play poker, and I bluffed a lot of the way. And he goes, and he just tells me straight up, Alex, if you do that in real life, believe you me that when you get out of the club, you're going to get beat up. I'm going to try that move again. I said, okay, mister. Yeah, I was like, all right, man. That was so funny, man. Yeah, so, you know, we had a good time too out there. But, you know, but I wish we had that. I would have loved to kind of learn Dungeons and Dragons by then. But my crew was not into that. We were comic guys, you know?
Yeah.
All out DC. And me being the outsider, always trying to find out, yo, you saw this? You know, I was always the indie guy, weirdly.
Yeah. Like, it was that group kind of introduced me to a bunch of stuff. So, like, we kind of went from the after school club to like just a club that we held at night at various people's houses and stuff. And all these people I didn't know when they were quite a bit older than me, but they were all playing Dungeons and Dragons, and they introduced me to like punk music and stuff as well.
Because
I was the only one, I think, at the time that knew how to download music. And so they were all asking me, like, oh, can you get all these like old secret like Black Flag tapes? And I'm like, yeah, I'll try my best. But
you know, I saw Black Flag live.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They almost ripped my hand off when I caught a flag that they threw. And then, it was me against like five people and no one to help me. I had to let go. I was like, it's either my fingers or the flag. I need to type.
Yeah, that's one of the problems of living in Scotland. Like, we do have a really good music scene, but a lot of those like small punk bands, I don't say Black Flag aren't small at all, but like, yeah, they just didn't make our shores.
Well, shit, no. Bro. Have you been to a mosh pit with them, Chris?
Oh, no. Like, I'm trying to remember the last punk show I went to. Actually, I went to see Pup, who are like a Canadian kind of pop punk band at the moment, and they were great, but it's been a long time since I've been in a mosh pit. I don't think I would survive.
I think that was my brothers that were a little bit older, you know. I was less grayer, you know. I had salt and pepper then. Let me tell you, it was tiring. Ain't the same. At a certain point, you just want to be the wall in case you go with your wife. You want to make sure that she don't get hurt, you know, or your girlfriend, whoever it is, your daughter. Last time I saw was Pantera. It was with my daughter. And I had to be the wall.
Yeah.
Small. Like, I didn't know where. So it was funny. All the men are lined up kind of in an oval shape. The ones that don't want to be in the mosh pit but understand that they also don't want to get hit from behind or have their loved one get hit. So we're all like this, just pushing people away. Get the fuck out of this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So one day I'll fly out wherever you are. We're going to hit a punk rock concert. Don't you worry, though. I'll just, you know. Yeah. All right. So start getting into creativeness. You know, you're hanging out, you got the school teacher that's cool, you're meeting community, you're like learning all this. When did the creative spark start taking place in your life?
I think it was dormant for a long time. Like, I was always really into drawing as a kid. And like, yeah, when I'm like, before like 10 years old, me and my friend were probably making comics. I don't really remember them, but I vaguely remember drawing panels and trying to draw comics. But that kind of like died for about 10 years. I went to uni to do art and design and stuff. And then the idea of trying to actually get a career going took over for a long time. But I think I was just getting bored. So I was drawing every night instead. And me and my friend decided that we were just going to try and do a webcomic as well. And like, going back to like these things that I love, like webcomics, they're just online, they're free, they can be as crap as you want them to be, and the first 200 pages probably were pretty crap that we did, but we just pumped them out over the course of a couple of years or whatever. So it was probably around 2010 or something. I was probably in my 20s, mid low 20s. It kind of kicked back in again after a long dormant time of not doing anything. And then as soon as you start doing webcomics, we went to our first Comic-Con, which was in London.
Which one?
I think it was called Kapow. I don't think it runs anymore.
Okay.
And it was great because it was the first time we'd ever been to one, and we're walking around and we're like, oh, these are people like us. Like, they've just bought a table and they have their books on there. And I was like, we could also do that. So then we just got really excited about creating something that we could share with people at cons. And then the first one we ever did, we did MCM in Glasgow, but then we did Thought Bubble, which is like the big indie festival in England.
as a San Diego of the UK, I would say, because the big one, a lot of great creators. My man, yes. John Hughes, who I got to go this year and check it out.
I met him. Yeah.
Oh, you met him? Hey, Big John. Yeah. He's my home.
It was weird. I recognized his voice before I recognized his face.
Well, that's so funny. They said the same thing about me. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, more around. I was like, Al Mega? I was like, oh, yes.
What have I done? He just walked by and he said my name and I was like, oh, I recognize that voice. And I turned around and he was there. So that was really great. And so, yeah, we went to Thought Bubble. And again, it sparked that because it is really indie focused. It's just a bunch of people making really weird art and really great comics. and so you're just walking around, you're like, oh crap, yeah, I want to do that. I want to do that. That book looks amazing. And a lot of like zines and a lot of just like really cool stuff. And so that was probably almost, I think 10 years ago, actually, this year we went to our first one. And we've been to every one ever since, I think, bar COVID maybe. And yeah, it just ignited everything. Like we just... You just walk around and there's so much good stuff. Yeah, that was it. I was sunk after that point. I don't think I've stopped making comics since.
Excellent. All right, so talk about the creation of this wonderful book, which was a recent funded Kickstarter. Yeah. You can even bring it up if you want. You know, let me put you in the first screen in case you want to show that baby off even closer. Let people look at it. Look at that book. You see what I'm telling you about the colors, baby? Look what it is. And show them the girth of the book for the soft porn, the spine. Look at that. She's a fat one, ladies, for the soft porn right there. Whippa.
It's even got like beautiful green cover inside. Lovely.
Don't you worry. You saw it there, but we're going to see it here. Even though this was a recently funded Kickstarter, I want to tell you guys that you can still pre-order this on Etsy. And what's great, it is the Christmas season, right? I mean, you want this for your comic book fan. You know, this is a wonderful gift. Trust you me that they would love. Because listen, you don't believe me, we're about to get into it. Because homie, I have a video here. We're about to play the video if you don't mind. All right? I'm going to put this on big screen right here, folks. Check out the video, the trailer, so you can know what this is right here with Jacques.
Welcome to Chris Baldy Presents Jacques. I'm Chris Baldy, and this is Jacques. Jacques and the Great Art Theft is a standalone comic with 51 pages of thrilling story imprinted in a luxuriously large 180 by 254 millimeter format. The story itself documents Paris's numero uno cat burglar, as he attempts to both break and enter one of Paris's most highfalutin museums. The comic is almost entirely dialogue-free, yet I've put myself down as both artist and writer in the book, while I've employed the skills of an actual talented Frenchman by the name of Adrien Bloch to colour the whole darn thing. What's on offer for the Kickstarter is both digital and physical copies of the book, and even an extra physical version that comes in hardback. On top of that, you can use the add-on feature to add any of my other books, including the Dungeons & Dragons book, Rolled at One, the Happy Sad Robot tale, Would You Mind Waiting a While, my collection of short comics, We Said Goodbye to Gravity, and the darkly comedic and epic space opera, Space Captain, Captain of Space, as well as some other cat. If you're able to help support this project, it would mean the world to me and will help ensure that I recoup the money I've already spent getting the book to this stage. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to get in touch. And if you're able to share this everywhere you can online, it would be incredibly generous and help me get the word out there. Be sure to tag it with Jacques Comic where you can, and I'll make sure to find you and thank you. Bonne nuit!
Did you see that art? What? What? Yo, we were about to see it a little bit closer here. Let me bring that back up on screen. I mean, look at this gorgeous art. Talk about this, man. Listen, when I first popped open this PDF you sent, it was the colors. Holy shit. I was like, whoa. Gorgeous. Talk about this, bro.
So I can take a little bit of credit for the color. I did the first two pages. And then
I did the opening. Thank you, Al.
Well, no. So, yeah, I did the first two pages and then I quickly realized that I could not do another 49 pages of this.
Is it that tedious or annoying to color?
No, it's not. It's not even that it was tedious or like. I really struggle to actually color it well.
Oh, okay.
Like I got those first two pages and I was like, yeah, fucking nailed it. Like, sorry, I'm not sure if I can swear or not.
Yeah,
I nailed it. I'm sorry. And I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be easy. And then like literally like the page after that, or like I tried like a page halfway through the book just to see what I would do. And it's all like in the dark at night in the streets and it's raining and cold. And I just couldn't get it at all. Like I was totally struggling, floundering. So I like hit up a bunch of people asking if they would color it. Eventually found Adrian, who's a French guy in South France, who agreed to do the book. And as you can see, like he redid the first and second pages. So he even added his own twist to those first two pages and made them better, probably. And then he did the rest of the book, and the rest of the book's amazing. So,
well, I mean, yeah. Again, look at it. It's then, and the story, you said dialogue free. Why dialogue free?
It all stems from a short story I did. So I did a collection of short stories, which was We Said Goodbye to Gravity. And there's like 8 or 9 different stories in this book. And one of them is Jacques. So there's a 6-page story in that of Jacques. And it's all...
Would that be considered his first appearance in that series?
Yeah, yeah. And because so each story...
It is. This guy's going to be famous, bro. Come on.
So yeah, each story in that book was essentially like, I was either trying to write in a different style or draw in a different style or just do something I'd never done before.
Experiment, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. I was so bored at the time. It was during COVID. And so his whole thing was like, I think I could do an action comic, but have 0 words in it. So I did those 6 pages. I had a lot of fun. Everyone kind of afterwards said, oh, I really liked that story. I really liked that character. And I really liked that character. So then I just had it brewing in my mind. I was like, could I do a whole book without any dialogue? It turns out you can. It's not easy. Yeah. And sometimes I hate myself for not having just a piece of dialogue to explain what was going on. But
to me, I think the art said it all. I understood, homie. I'm feeling, homie, man. I'm in tune with that for real. I understand and just... You know, there's a turnaround when you find out, you know, it's okay. You understand. Yeah. You understand. It's like, wow, all right. You know?
Well, that's good to hear.
I'm a villains fan. So at the end of the day, I think villains always have the best stories, right? A thief is considered a villain, right?
Yeah.
You know, why? You never know their reason for doing what they got to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's the perfect example of an anti-hero, or not the perfect example. He's a good example of an anti-hero. And I do like that in a story. Like, I think most of my stories always have a troubled character who might seem good at first, but then might be bad, but likewise might be bad, seems good.
And then you got to get it, man. Sometimes you got to make shitty decisions.
Yeah.
You know, but you did not make a shitty decision with this. I mean, this book is so fire, bro. Honestly. Gorgeous. I mean, how much time did it take you to put this baby together? And the size, when you mentioned that, does that happen to be the European comic book size?
No, I think it's actually smaller.
A little bit smaller, but bigger than the American, right?
Yeah. I don't know bigger if I have any.
It's smaller than your... All right, so we're going to call it the baldy size.
Yeah. The typical British size, I would say, of like, don't want to concede to being European, but don't want to be greater than the Americans. So, yeah.
Wait, we're going to put it here. If anybody gets offended, you can talk to Johnny later on.
It's just a size that I've kind of used for a couple of books now, and it just seems to fit right for when I print my work. It just looks right. If I print it any bigger, it looks clumsy. If I print it smaller, it's almost impossible to read. So yeah.
No, again, it's a gorgeous book, and I see. I mean, just from the hand picture, which I'll show the Etsy in a little bit. But look at this; you got a whole bunch, and you know, before I start showing off that Etsy, where people could get it, you know what I mean. And all that stuff, you know, explain to us a bit about Jacques, though. You know what I mean? Who is he? Like, you know, when you create him and you show stories, where did he come from?
I'm a huge Francophile. I love France. have since I was in my late teens, early 20s, and I kind of went there on travels and just fell in love with the place. So I've always really liked France. And so I hope this story does it justice. I hope the French don't see it as some sort of horrible stereotype. But like, I love Paris. I just really like the idea of drawing Parisian rooftops, which a good third of this book is just me drawing rooftops in Paris. But the actual character, I don't know. As you say, like, I really like drawing, or I really like writing. Not problematic. He's not a problematic character in any sense, but like, yeah, he's a bad guy, but doing good, shall we say, for himself. Yeah, or
you explain the story, because you put a dope narrative. Again, folks, you got to pick up this book, because, you know, you get our flashbacks, which are a little bit more, I guess, phased out coloring as opposed to of the now. And I thought that was so cool, because you start, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That's where I'm starting to understand, Jack. Like, why tell the story that way?
So yeah, the story, I don't want to give away too much, but I'll give the general synopsis. Jacques is on a mission to liberate some art, shall we say, from a Paris museum. And at first it might seem, you know, your traditional story if he wants to steal something. But as the story goes along, you get to see more and more of his back history. And as you say, that's done through these really nicely, beautifully coloured bits at times when Adrian's done it. And flashbacks into his history as him as a kid and him as like an adult, and then modern day of him doing the thing. And again, that's a story dynamic I really like to do. I like to dip into either different time periods or switch between just two.
Pulp Fiction, you mean? Are you trying to be the Quentin of comics, bro? Where, pal? Let's go.
Yeah, I don't think I have quite the level of storytelling that he maybe has. Yeah, it's I think it makes for a better story to read, and primarily it makes it more interesting for me to do. I have a terrible thing. I don't like to, if I get bored of a comic, it will just peter off and it'll just end up terrible. So I've got to do something that's at least interesting for me. And I think that's kind of where this story went, or how the story was born. Yeah, it was to keep myself interested for 51 pages of intense drawing that took a year to draw and probably another year to finalize with colors and printing and all this other stuff.
Ooh, man. And during what time period were you working on this book? Was it, you know, post-COVID already when you started working on it?
Yeah, so I did this little six-page short story in 2020, 2021, I think, something around there. And then pretty much straight after that, I started working on Jacques. So pretty much 21 to 23, I think. It was a long time. There was like life events and work events got in the middle of it. So for 6 months, I wasn't doing anything.
How did life get in the way of your project?
The older I get, the more life keeps getting in the way of things.
That's what it is. But you know what? You know, you got to put your foot on the door and stop it from closing. And you keep working because, bro, if this is just part of the arsenal that you created thus far, like, shit, you know, you gotta talk to me, because I see right here, rolled one, we said goodbye to gravity, would you mind waiting a while? You know, Space Captain series, I mean, you got Patch, you got, talk about all these creations. Well, this is kind of awesome, man.
Yeah, again, like, Space Captain was the oldest, I think. We started that in like 2013. So again, that was about the time I went to Thought Bubble for the first time and I saw everyone else's work and I was like, oh, I want to do that. So my friend Michael Park wrote the first issue kind of by surprise. He just kind of threw it at me and it was amazing. And I was like, oh, really? We've got to make this book. So, you know, 6 or 7 years later, we'd finally finished the entire 6 books of it. And it was amazing. And it was a total learning curve. Like, if you look at the first issue, the drawings are horrendous. I didn't really know what I was doing. By the 6th book, the drawings are getting really good, but the storytelling is still terrible. Like, I have not figured out how to do panel layouts properly or pacing. But it was a really fun series to do. And drawing aliens, drawing spaceships, sci-fi is a big thing that I like as well. So,
That, did you wind up taking like classes or advice from someone to learn how to do the craft better, or did you just dive into our master Zen teacher guru?
Yeah, it's a total case of stupidly not learning anything. I went to uni for art and design, but it was really like a really basic course. Kind of told you color theory and did a little bit of life drawing, but mostly it was like interactive media and script writing and stuff, so it didn't really help. When it came to comics, it was literally just drawing constantly. Like, as I say, before any of these books, I had a web comic that had 200 pages or something.
Oh, wow.
And you just got to crank out 200 pages to even get to like the base level of decent. And then Space Captain is another 220 pages of comics. Ooh. And by the end of that, I was really starting to feel like I'm kind of getting to a level I'm happy at.
400 pages, then.
Yeah.
Right.
And like,
and that's it's boo-boo pages that you probably threw out, right? Or erase.
Yeah, this the entire webcomic is gone, I think, from existence.
Oh, really?
I mean, I've got some hard copies somewhere, but yeah, like, there was a lot of pages in Space Captain that were scrapped and started again, or yeah. But 400 pages, yeah, is probably about it, to be honest with you. You start to feel confidence. After that. But like, the annoying thing is that whenever I do a tutorial of like for ages, I couldn't draw hands. You know, everyone complains hands are impossible to draw.
Do you draw feet?
Feet's the one I still struggle with, to be honest with you. But now I really enjoy drawing hands because I got an app. Again, it must have been fucking years ago. Like, the original iPhone had an app by Steven Silver, who's like really famous illustrator and storyboard artist for movies and stuff. He did like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and stuff. Anyways, this amazing drawer. He had this app that just had reference photos of people, poses, and a ton of hands. And so I downloaded the app, read a few things about how to draw hands, and within like a few months had nailed it. Like, really liked drawing hands after that. And if you look throughout my comics, I get quite expressive with the characters' hands. Really, really enjoy it. It makes all the difference if your character's actually acting with his hands like people do in real life.
You're worried about no dialogue. I'm saying the expressiveness of the character throughout the story is enough. So for you, you don't need words, man. Eat this shit. Oh, I'm telling you, Chris. Yeah. You did a hell of a effing job on these books, huh?
Thank you so much. If you actually do tutorials and sit down, life is so much easier. But I didn't do that. I just plowed through it and just kept drawing page after page until it sunk in and actually worked. So then after that, every book after that was just basically anything I wanted to draw that I thought would be a fun story, silly characters, cartoony. I really liked drawing cartoons, basically.
Well, that's what it looked like, an animated short or film.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So, I mean, is that the ideal plan for the Baldiverse? You know what I mean? Do you want animation?
Oh, yeah. I've always wanted to. I wanted to work in animation when I was a kid. I didn't really realize that was a job, unfortunately, so I didn't pursue it. Like, is that a thing when you're a kid, you don't realize that there's jobs out there that are fun?
Oh, yeah. We watch this stuff, and I don't know where the fuck our minds are at when we watch it. Like, we don't understand. Oh, people make this.
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't until years later I was like, weirdly, I always wanted to do voice acting in cartoons, despite the fact that the video that you play, the audio of me is so boring. And when you were playing it, like, my insides just crumpled up and died, basically.
Well, if you want to do voice acting, I know someone that does, like, they do Fantastic Four comic book stories and sometimes throw a line. Yeah. So you want to have some fun. I've done those. And my greatest voice actors I've met yet, the voice of Optimus Prime in Megatron.
Oh, really?
At Hasbro. Man, those two together, Chris, if you ever, please, I have a video on Comic Crusaders World, if you look it up. Oh my God, these two guys are the funniest duo ever. I don't understand how they got any work done.
Johnny was playing me something. What was he playing me? He played me a video of one of the other YouTube things on comics. It was the toys thing, I think, actually.
Babo Crisis on the Toyverse, man. My boy Babo Mac. If you love toys, he's a toy boss. Chris, let me tell you, he'll make you spend money, you know. He's the person that your spouse would hate. Like, why are you showing my person this? How dare you?
It's the other way around, actually. I never buy any. My wife has like a Lego addiction.
Oh, really? Oh,
shit. Yeah. So, currently, under this desk, there's a whole like Lord of the Rings Rivendell set just waiting to get built. So, yeah.
I haven't done the Lego thing yet. I don't even want to like think about it. I mean, God forbid one day they do something that I really need. Like, I don't want to look it up. I'm really afraid of looking up if they've done Lego Megatron, because that would be my first major Lego. If they've done that, I'm about to shit my pants. I'm like, no!
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta do this. Fuck. I have a whole shovel Megatron back there. So, all right. So the baddies, though. Why the baddies, though? You kind of mentioned that briefly, but what is it? What is it about the baddie and the not-so-good guy? Is this something that maybe you read through comics, got influenced through film, or is just do you feel that those characters have much more of an appeal as a goody, you know, versus a goody two shoes?
I think just again, the older I get, the realize no one is the, you know, there's no good and bad. There is just a gray area where we're all in it, basically. And so, yeah, in Space Captain, the comic kind of starts almost like comically. It was meant to be a funny story, which is why it's called Space Captain of Space. Like, it was meant to be a throwaway joke. Mm-hmm. But the story just developed and it gets darker and darker as you go through these six issues. And the good guy, kind of, you find out he's done some crappy stuff in his past. The bad guys are doing things for the wrong reasons and they kind of realize that as well. And it is just that thing of life. The longer you live, the more you see there's good in the bad and bad in the good.
I gotta tell you, you're gonna laugh. Have you seen the film Walking Down? Falling Down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, from the 90s with what's his face in it? Yeah.
So I saw a meme the other day. Some guy said, when I was in my 20s and saw this film, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Then he goes through his journey through the ages, but by the time he reaches his 50s, he goes, I'm totally with him.
yeah. I mean, that's basically it. Like, life grinds you down and you make all the fun comics in your 20s. And then when you get to like your 30s and everything starts hurting in your body and you're just like, why is this happening to me? What have I done? So I think that makes its way into your comics.
That's so fun.
And so, yeah, like Jacques, I'd always kind of drawn comics from the perspective of the good guy. And so I was like, well, it'll be fun to draw a comic from, you know, quote unquote, a thief. But I can't just do a bad guy story, so there has to be something good in there. So, yeah, there's some morals in the story.
So we need some bad guy stories. It's all right. We need some villain, all right? It's the truth of the world. And now, what's 10 pounds equate to in American dollars? People can know. But again, look, folks, it's on Etsy. You know what? Let me even not make it difficult for you while we talk about this awesome, you know, availability. So the Kickstarter campaign funded. Congrats, right? It funded, right?
Yeah. Busted through it in like the first day or whatever, I think.
What? In the first day?
Well, yeah, I set the bar pretty low.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted it to get made. So it was going to get made regardless. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you were all right. So fuck's not even that much of a difference. So £10 is actually $12.56 US dollars right now. That means the $2.56 difference. Our dollars are getting valueless. Look at this. Look at the pound is kicking our ass right now. Look at this.
No, it's, I think, well, no, it's the other way around.
Is it?
Well, yeah, because.
Oh, it is the value. Well, is it?
Trust us, my economy is in the trash as well. So maybe we're just both swirling into this garbage heap. But
yeah, let me swirl, because you know what? We're both going to get mad at the end. Like, where the hell is our money?
Like when. I remember in the mid-90s when the UK was at its finest economically, it was £1 to $2. So if we went to America, we could buy stuff for basically half price, and it was amazing.
Oh, I got.
But it's now 1 to 1.2. Like, it's almost nothing. We're crap. It's crap. Everything's crap over here. So
you're not getting such a great deal anymore. I get it.
No. But you guys, on the other hand, will get a fucking bargain from this book. So. Buy more.
Buy as many as you can. It's available, right? Of your shipping. I'm pre-ordered.
Yeah. So you can ship to America.
I mean, look at this. Look at this gorgeous book, folks. Woo! How sexy. Look at those colors. Tell me those colors don't pop. Come on.
Yeah, that specific page, which is why I photographed it, took us like two or three attempts. I was never quite happy with it. And so I just made Adrian keep working on it until he got it right. But he nailed it in the end. Yeah.
So how did you work with it? What your color was? Was this sort of a remote thing or in person? That you guys local? How that work out with that?
No, so he's in the south of France. I've never talked to him in person. I've only emailed him.
My
French is abysmal, and I don't know how great his English. He can write emails in English and stuff, but I didn't want to get on a call.
Well, people translate, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that is crazy how good that works now as well.
If I can't, I'll try. Don't you worry. Just me, double check them.
Yeah, but yeah, like it was all just remote. I sent him a folder with all the files in it.
How did you even find them?
He colored another of my friend's books, Spider King, or one of the offshoots of Spider King.
Okay.
So I remember at the time really liking his work in this book. And so I messaged my friend. I was like, who's that guy that colored your book years ago? And he sent me on to Adrian. And he works so quickly. And his style is great. And he's actually like a full-time artist illustrator himself, and his work is incredible. So if anyone ever gets a chance to actually look at his stuff, you definitely should.
Oh, there we go. There we go. So are you going to, again, folks, the Christmas stuff, stocking stuffer.
Yeah. Especially if you're American, you're getting a total bargain. So buy two or three.
Family. Again, I'll take it from, again, I'm going to show you the other two pages before we leave. Again, look at that. I mean, how could you not fall in love with the corner of this book when you open it? It's like, yo, this is serious. This is A-list looking stuff. This could stand with the big boys. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Indie is a beautiful thing that we got to support, especially creators like Chris Baldy. See, I'm showing that website, chrisbaldy.com. You go there, you know, pre-order this baby. Probably has links to all his other goodies. You know, show up, support Indy. So are you going to be anywhere for the rest of the year? Any plans or is it, you know, Chris is chilling until 2024? And what's your first appearance going to be, if you already know?
I don't know, actually. So I think I'm just going to be, I want to make a collected version of Space Captain. So that's kind of my next design project rather than drawing. But in terms of like shows and stuff, I was going to be doing TCAF in Toronto. But I pulled out yesterday just because I'm not going to have enough stuff done in time for it. Yeah. But I'd love to go back there because Toronto, like Thought Bubble in England, it's this show of just amazing indie creators, just like four floors of indie creators. All the stuff's incredible. I had a great time when I was there like 5 or 6 years ago.
I'll do that.
It's amazing. Like if you ever get a chance, it's so good. And Toronto's just a great place to go. It's a lot of fun. So I want to do that in 2025, but in 2024, I think I'm probably only going to apply for Thought Bubble, which is in November of 2024.
Yeah, get it done again, man. Heck yeah, bro.
Yeah. There's a big comics festival in France called Angoulême, but it's in January, so I'm not going to do it this year, but I want to do that January 2025 if I can.
If you got a love of France, you got this book, shit. So, you know, again, if you have a French colorist and he hasn't said anything, I'm pretty sure that means that he thinks it is a great book.
Yeah, I think I've got the stamp of approval. Like, I've got a couple of French friends and I sent it to them first of all. And I was like, does this pass the test of being okay? And they were like, yeah, that's fine. So, yeah, stamp of approval from at least a couple of French people.
Awesome. Kick ass. Oh, I love it. So lastly, what would you tell anybody trying to come up to the game now based on your journey? How can they step in now? Or what would you advise them to do if they're crazy and can step into this creative business?
I don't think they're crazy. If you can, you know, I have a few, I don't do this full time. I do this as a passion project, basically. My full time job is design, graphic design. It pays the bills and makes me very comfortable, but I have a few friends that do comics full time and you can do it. It's just incredibly intense. You have to be very forward. It's almost impossible just to get by with being good now. I have plenty of friends that are incredible artists, but they just don't put themselves out there. Like myself, I'm pretty terrible at it as well, to be honest with you. You've got to grind online, sell yourself constantly, which is the number one thing to learn. Like, it's such a skill that maybe isn't taught, that should be taught. It's how to don't just post online, but actually engage online. Talk to people, meet people. That's what things like Thought Bubble, it's the only time I ever meet creators, and it's the only time that I ever make good connections. You know, go to the after parties, talk to random people you've never met before.
How are the after parties over there? I'm dying to go, man. I could tell you, the New York Comic Con after party, San Diego Comic Con after parties. Ooh, wow, you're lucky if you walk, you know, an even line.
I mean, it's mixed over here. Perhaps it's a big nerd fest. So this year they had like a hotel kind of booked, but it was a real shambles, unfortunately. I don't think it was anyone's fault, but like, there was basically one big room with like a disco just full of nerds being nerds, dancing, having a great time.
I remember when I went with my ex-wife, it was a nerd dance party. All these nerds started doing these weird dance moves. She just looked like, where did you bring me? What is this?
Yeah, like there was one year.
What the heck?
What's his name? Is it Daryl from Run DMC?
Yeah.
He does comics now? Yeah, he was at Thought Bubble one year. So they got him up to do like one song, I think, and the room just like erupted. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he just did an interview with Drink Champs. Really cool. A lot of hip hop history if you're into that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about how he navigated into comics as well, which is
pretty cool. Yeah.
No, that's not.
Yeah, he was there.
It's about comics. He was like, okay, they're talking about comics on Drink Champs. All right.
Like, it's strange because I have mixed feelings. Like, when anyone from another medium or art form comes into comics, I'm always like, well, why are they doing it? Is it like some sort of weird cash grab? But with people like himself, he genuinely seems really interested, and he was so nice at the party.
He was super
friendly.
In the history, apparently, you know, he would be the comic book nerd they would make fun of because he would take comic books and read them. Same thing with Method Man, you know, the Wu-Tang crew, they were big into
comics,
plainly enough. I mean, so their name is Johnny Blaze, right? Tony Starks.
Shit, yeah.
You know, so they were about life. A lot of them were just big fans, and you know, once they were able to get in, you know,
they
cool on them. We all want that. Heck yeah, shit.
Yeah,
I want to see
like
verse. That's what I want to see. I want to see the body verse, and I want to see Jacques on screen. You're like Russo. So, what do you want? A full length feature film, or would you like to be part of an anthology of some sort, or like a mini series?
Oh, an anthology would be great. I'd never thought about an anthology before, but like,
ooh.
Yeah, that takes all of the pressure off me. And like, if it doesn't work as a group, then that's their problem. It's not my problem. Whereas if it's just a movie about my stuff and it fails, then it's just my problem. But no, there's a French director. I can't remember his name now, but he did Belleville Rendezvous, which I think was actually called The Triplets of Belleville in America. And then there was another one he did called The Illusionist, not the live action film. It's like an illustrated animated film.
Yeah.
And it was based in Scotland. And he's this French director, and he does these beautiful animated films. And I want them to take Jack, make it into a film.
Well, it happened. Yeah. The manifestation for 2024, baby. That's what you want. The body verse is coming to a screen near you. But first, it's got to get into your hands, right? So make sure to check out the website. Get those links. Get that book. Make it happen. And again, not just for yourself, but for the comic book fan of your life. Trust me here. This is a Comic Crusaders approved, bargain right here. And your comic book fan would love it. I'm telling you. And it's so fun. Plus, it shares the colors. That means it's some real deal, baby. You know where he's coming from. All right. And not just that, you can follow him all over social media if you have any questions at Chris Baldy. All right. And a big shout out to our big homie, Melissa M, for putting this together. All right. Shout out. Thank you for hooking it up. And, you know, if you are looking, For help, Paula says, if you're a creator, check out Don't Hide PR. All right. Awesome firm right there. Big shout out again to Melissa. And of course, Chris, thank you again for your time. I appreciate you, brother.
I loved it. Thanks for having me on.
Toronto may sound like a plan. Let's see. Will Mega go to Canada? Oh, shit. If we do, get ready, man. Baldy, we're about to make it happen and make deals, all right?
That's good.
Thanks, mi gente.
Thank you for listening to the Conversators podcast. If you like the content, please subscribe and turn on notifications. Also, please visit conversators.com and our extended podcast family over at undercovercapes.com. And also, make sure to download the Conversators app from the Play Store today.